Unto us a child is born. So wrote Isaiah the prophet over 700 years before Jesus' birth. And now he is lying in a manger in Bethlehem. He looks like an ordinary baby. No glowing light, no halo. Frail, 8 pounds perhaps. Brown eyes, dark hair. Helpless, needing nourishment and a wash and clothes. They have wrapped him in swaddling bands. Few babies have to be laid in a manger. The circumstances here are unique. No other mother ever carried such a secret as Mary did. She was a virgin, and this was her child, conceived in her womb, brought into the world through her labor, and now dependent upon her for everything. He is a miracle child. He is partly from Mary and partly from the Holy Spirit. He is a new creation. And though neighbors would call him Mary and Joseph's boy, that was only half true. An angel told Mary to call his name Jesus, after Joshua, the one who delivered his people into the promised land. This baby will deliver his people into the promised land from their sins, into heaven, and ultimately the new heaven and new earth. But the angel also told her something else. This child is also God's son. Mighty God, Isaiah said in his prophecy. She must have thought about it over and over. She is the mother of one who is God. Who can fathom that? How can that be? He is eternal, unborn, uncreated, like his father. But now he is also human, fragile, unable to speak, needing to learn to read and write, helpless. The one who cradled the universe is lying in a cradle. God has been contracted to a span, knowing everything and right now knowing hardly anything at all. Everywhere present and confined to a human body, all powerful and weak, immortal and capable of dying, the one who has no beginning begins to breathe. He is Emmanuel, God among his people. But a stable is a very strange place to start this journey. The form of God is veiling his face behind a baby's face. As he lies there, he has no thoughts about a journey that will end pierced on a cross. His messianic journey is just beginning. One day the wind and the sea will obey him, but right now he needs to be changed. In a dozen years from now, he will astonish rabbis with the depth of his learning, and as a young man, he will speak of God as no one ever spoke of him before or since. But right now, he can't even talk. He is a baby, a few hours old. His powers are still slumbering. And like every other baby, he starts knowing nothing, even of the scriptures that he had come to fulfill. That knowledge would come later, through the Holy Spirit, and only when he was ready. An angel of the Lord, was it Gabriel, appears to shepherds on the hillside and says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Shepherds. According to Joachim Jeremias, the foremost 20th century scholar of Jerusalem in the first century, shepherds were regarded as notorious sinners. They had no legal standing. They could not appear as witnesses in a trial. And their business was sheep. Sheep for sacrifice in the temple. And this baby will put their occupation in jeopardy. The baby in the manger is the great shepherd of the sheep. But he is also the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist will draw attention to 30 years from now. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Shepherds, a sign. A sign for you. They were probably confused. It would be later that they would understand the sign. It's the swaddling cloths. Luke will close his gospel with another reference to a linen cloth, a shroud that will cover his dead body. It was the old man Simeon who got it. He spoke to Mary and said, "A sword will pierce her soul also." She probably didn't understand it at first, but Simeon was warning her of a sword that would pierce the soul of her little boy. Johann Sebastian Bach got it. In the setting of his Christmas oratorio, in the very first chorale, we hear these words, "How shall I fitly meet thee and give thee welcome due? The nations long to greet thee, and I would greet thee too. O fount of light, shine brightly upon my darkened heart, that I may serve thee rightly and know thee as thou art." It's Christmas in the oratorio, but Bach sets this to the melody by Paul Gerhardt, the one we know all too well, set to "O Sacred Head Sore Wounded," about the death of Jesus. Even as the little baby Jesus lies there, the shadow of the cross falls upon him. Christmas leads inexorably to Easter. Shepherds, a sign. Songsters, angels, a multitude of the heavenly host. And though it doesn't actually say so, they were singing. They appear at all the significant moments of redemptive history. "Glory to God," they sang. They knew their Shorter Catechism, that their chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And peace. Caesar Augustus promised Pax Romana, but this little infant has come to bring peace with God. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. There's gospel in this verse. Jesus hadn't come to be a Santa Claus asking, "Have you been a good boy or girl this year?" He had come to bestow peace on those whom his Father had given to him in his good pleasure. This should be our prayer this Christmas. Lord, may my trust be entirely in this little child, and therefore may I too be among those upon whom your saving favor lies. Amen.